Dear brothers and sisters, to some estimates, the word patience is mentioned in the Bible over 70 times. And when I think about the number of times patience is referenced, especially like statistics like these, I have to remember that some of them are directly and some might be indirectly. But what does it mean to be patient when it comes to investing and following God's word? As a certified private wealth advisor, long-term investing and being patient is one of the core principles to a successful financial plan. These get-rich-quick schemes and fast money overnight plans are not biblically based and actually have a higher failure rate than long-term investing. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." See, there are four pillars to successful investing, which are debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. If you are patient and follow those principles, you increase your probability of success and not decrease it. Today, I want to go over the four aspects of patience that we must master before we can be financially and spiritually successful when we are investing. So I want you to take a minute and I want you to think about words that come to mind when you think of the word patience. Go ahead. Waiting. Right? Not rushing. Time. Resting. Self-control. I like that one. That's good. Discipline. Great. These are some great words. But when we are supposed to be patient, are we practicing these principles? Think about this. When you pray, are you rushing God? Now, before you give an answer, I would never rush God. And I'm assuming you don't rush God either. But let me ask you if you've done or said any of the following. Lord, I've been patiently waiting. I want you to give me a sign that I am on the right path. Lord, I'm coming to you today to ask you for your help in this situation. I don't see a way out. Or Lord, what am I supposed to do? It seems like it's getting worse, right? These are indirect rushing statements, and they are filled with doubt. Now, let me take each statement one by one and break them down real quickly, and it will make more sense once I give you the four biblical principles of patience. The first, Lord, I've been patiently waiting. I want you to give me a sign that I am on the right path. This was the same thing the children of Israel were asking their prophets. They didn't have faith. So much so, Jesus got upset and said he wasn't going to give them another sign. How many signs did Jesus give them? And they still didn't believe. He healed the sick, the blind, the lepers. He turned water into wine. He fed the multitude with loaves of bread and fish. And yet, they wanted more and more and more signs. So when we ask God for a sign with our finances, we are no better than the children of Israel. Because even if God gave us a sign, we still wouldn't believe and we should not, what? We should not tempt God. Let's go to the second one. Lord, I'm coming to you again to ask for your help in this situation. I don't see a way out. What would Jesus say? O ye of little faith. Many times we believe in God's decree, but we don't believe in God's timing. The repetition of the request does keep it on our hearts, and it should stay in our prayers. But this message here lacks faith. Just because you can't see the next steps doesn't mean there aren't any. I was also taught that if you could see all of the steps, then you wouldn't need faith. By not showing you the steps, God is giving you a chance to strengthen your faith, and when it comes into fruition, then you know it came from only one source, which is God. And the third and final statement is, Lord, what am I supposed to do? It seems like it's getting worse. Dear brothers and sisters, do you think that you will be admitted into paradise without being tested like those before you? They were afflicted with so much suffering and adversity and were so violently shaken that even the messengers and prophets and the believers with them would cry out, when will God's help come? This is a part of the process. As a believer, challenges from God are used to elevate the believer and strengthen him, not punish them. So if it's getting worse and you're following God's will, keep going. If it's getting worse and you're following your own will, then God is telling you to correct your behavior. So how do you know the difference? Easy. You get back into your Bible. Just as a side note, I don't like when people say, I have a personal relationship with God. I don't go to church, right? It's personal, you know, me and God are like really great friends and everything else like that, right? And I'm like, you don't have a personal relationship. You just don't want to be held accountable. You believe that ignorance is bliss and you're living it. See, as long as you don't read the Bible or hear the truth in a sermon, you can deceive yourself into thinking that what you are doing is right. God knows my heart. How many times have we heard that? God knows my intention. God sees that I'm a good person, right? By what standard, when he brings down the Bible by the standard by which you should judge yourself and what he expects out of you, you don't even listen to. So how would you know? So if you truly had a relationship with God, wouldn't you want to hear more? It's like having a spouse and not visiting her family because you have a personal relationship with her. Wouldn't you want to hear the stories of her childhood? Wouldn't you want to hear what others think? The reason you wouldn't would be only one thing. You are afraid of what you might hear. Am I right or am I right? But I don't want to hold you all too long. So I'm going to give you these four principles of patience that will help you when investing in waiting on the Lord. Number one, be thorough and not hasty. God has created man hasty. In our pursuit of success and other endeavors, we have a tendency to kind of want to just get it over with. In school, remember when you were in first grade? You couldn't wait to get into second grade. Then you want to get out of elementary school and go to junior high. Then you couldn't wait to get out of junior high. You want to go to high school. You couldn't wait to be in college. We couldn't wait to get married. We couldn't wait to have a career. We couldn't wait to retire. And then we were 70 years old. We wish we had started over and actually enjoyed the journey. If we were thorough, we wouldn't want to return to any part of our lives because we took full advantage of the time God has given us. Have you ever been in a house during a thunderstorm and you couldn't get out and maybe even the internet was down? It feels like the day is super long, doesn't it? You clean up, do laundry, you write in your journal, you talk to your family, you play three games of Monopoly, you eat, and it's only like 9:30 in the morning, right? But why? Because we were thorough. Time seemed to slow down. We didn't rush through it. We had nothing else to rush to, so we took our time. We weren't so focused on what is next, and we had time to focus on what is now. So I encourage each of you to slow down and enjoy the moment, no matter if you are in moments of poverty or prosperity, because each stage has their own problems. Number two, be steadfast. Many of you have seen the picture of the man who was digging for gold and he digs and digs, and right before he reaches the gold, he turns away and gives up. When Christian investors are patient, we are consistent and steadfast. We continue to push on, even though the journey is taking longer than we first expected. I like to think of Google Maps. I'm old enough to remember when it first came out. You would put the address in, see that it was 45 minutes away, and kind of plan around that time. Then you get in the car and realize that number was just an estimate. And usually, it's the fastest estimate. Because when you get in the car, now you're stuck in traffic, there may be an accident, you have to get gas, and maybe there's construction and a detour up ahead. But do you give up and go back home when you're on minute number 50? No. You just keep going and you make the adjustments. And what is the mark of success? That you made it to your destination. Do you care if you made it 5 minutes late or 10 minutes early? No. So when investing, we have to be steadfast. We can make projections with a financial plan, but we also must understand that we have financial roadblocks, financial detours, financial stoplights, and financial construction zones. But we don't give up. We keep pushing until we reach our destination, and each time trying to find the best route. Number three, be systematic and not sporadic. People love to cheer when their statements go up month after month after month. We're programmed to enjoy these moments of excitement and growth, but we have to be careful because just as high as you get, you'll ultimately feel just as low. I was having a conversation the other day, and we discussed this phenomenon of the anticlimactic event, where you dream of something, a goal or a prize, and you get it, and it doesn't feel as good as you thought it would. And we compare this phenomenon to situations where you win, you're super excited, maybe you had a wonderful date or one employee of the year, and then the next day just feels blah. But is the day horrible or just horrible compared to the wonderful day you had before? This emotional roller coaster is terrible for our mental health. By being systematic, we are not distracted by these sporadic ups and downs in actions or celebrations. We take a step back and see the big picture. Setting up a system where you're looking for maybe a 4% annualized return will stop you from jumping for joy when you make 12% in 6 months and cry when you lose 8% in the following 6 months. Because you realize and you can see from a bird's eye view that you're actually hitting your goal of 4% annualized return. And that's a positive. But you have to stay consistent and you must have a system in place that you can follow. Number 4, don't complain. There is a difference between complaining and problem solving. Complaining is when you're not taking any action to resolve the issue. Problem solving is when you realize there is an issue and you want to attack it. When you're being patient, you don't complain about the wait. And if you did the other 3 steps correctly, you wouldn't have to worry because you have a system. You're sticking to your plan. You're making pivots when necessary and you're thorough and not hasty. Understand this, brothers and sisters. Through waiting, God is still going to test you. But even in those times, we must trust in God's decree. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Patient in affliction. God is telling you there is going to be trouble. But how do we get out? We are joyful in hope. And what is hope? When we can't see the finish line, but we are optimistic about the outcomes. And how do we stay steadfast? We are faithful in prayer, meaning we are constantly keeping our goals on top of our mind and sticking to our convictions, not allowing others to change how we feel. Remember, faithful, full of faith, meaning being able to act toward a goal that we may not be able to see. Brothers and sisters, as Christian investors, your goal is to set up a plan to reach your goal and be patient as God brings it into fruition. Earlier, we brought up the 4 pillars. How many of these pillars do you have under your control? How are you handling your debt management? How much are you saving? How are you investing? And what is your wealth transfer plan? If you don't have these setups, then you're planning to fail because you don't have a system and it makes it harder to be patient. As we close, brothers and sisters, God is calling you to be patient. He doesn't want you running to these get-rich-quick schemes. Once again, this goes against biblical principles. It says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." You see that word? Hastily. In a rush will be your demise. But through patience and slow gathering, you will increase your wealth. My charge to you today, brothers and sisters, is to take control of your finances because your family depends on it. If you need help and you don't know where to start, you can go to AB Ridgeway Wealth Management website and download a free copy of our 4 Pillars of Christian Investing, which gives you a foundation of financial planning so you can start your journey. And if you're ready now, we help Christian investors like you build financial plans that will make God proud. We pride ourselves on giving Christian counsel on money matters, but you must have patience. If you aren't patient, then it won't be a good fit. But if you're looking to build generational wealth a biblical way, then we'd love to speak to you. Also, we have a podcast, Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, where you can listen to. We have over 220 episodes that give Christian counsel on money matters. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope that you benefited from this talk today. I'll be having a question and answer session after this. Also, I'm going to stick around for about 30 minutes just in case you would like to chat. Well, with that said, I am AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.